Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, welcome in everybody on this Sunday night to the storming outside. It's raining a little bit, so hopefully we don't have any power interruptions. But if that happens, just know that I appreciate you and I'll see you on Tuesday. But glad that you guys are with me again on this Sunday night to this edition of the Red Bull Report. And I can't imagine this is going to be a particularly popular episode. I don't mean from blowback or controversy. I just mean people don't want to talk about losing baseball, especially losing baseball to Mississippi State yet again. But that is exactly what Ole Miss did this weekend. They go to Starkville. They have a weird schedule because you have to play a Friday doubleheader. And Ole Miss goes and loses the series. They win game one, played pretty well in game one, and just could not capitalize on that. Had their chances in both games, and they just could not get it done. And that is yet another weekend series loss by Mike Bianco to Mississippi State. How much does that matter? It doesn't until it does. We'll talk about all that and more on this edition of the podcast. Again, I'm glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. I'd recommend Spotify, but it's available everywhere. So if you're watching on YouTube, glad you're here. Appreciate you being here. But the podcast feed is where I would love to see you as well. So again, just search Rebel Report, subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. But most importantly, they have an online presence. They have a website, of course. And check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You don't have to live in the area to shop with them. And it's a great car buying experience. There are too many places that want to sell you a crappy car or work one over on you or squeeze every dollar out of you. That's not going to happen at Toyota Brookhaven. So check them out online. It'll be worth the trip. I promise it'll be worth the trip. And $1,000 on me, by the way, if you tell them I sent you. $1,000 on me if you tell them that I sent you. And great interest rates, a service department that'll take care of any maker model as well. At Toyota Brookhaven, they will deliver. So Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State. They lose yet another series. They are trending in the wrong direction. This, I don't know if unraveling is the right phrase, but they are most certainly trending in the wrong direction. Yet another series loss. Again, they're kind of stacking those at this point. But it's the lack of consistency that's really plaguing this team. And it's head-scratching. It's kind of bizarre. I mean, you look at game one, and Pico is Mississippi State's best bullpen arm, best member of the pitching staff. He's been good this year for them. He's got really good stuff, and he's just a good quality pitcher. And Ole Miss just absolutely shelled him. I mean, hit the ball all over the park, just stacked runs, and they comfortably won game one. Although I questioned at the time, and then in hindsight, not the best decision, I guess, and he wasn't perfect anyway, but you went ahead and went with Morris despite really dominating game one. And then you get a win and you played well and you pitched it well. And for the most part, and you really quieted what was a gigantic crowd. And then for the next 18 innings, really offensively, you just completely and totally, just totally disappeared yet again. And they are so inconsistent at the plate. The approaches, I see the smart baseball people saying that their approach at the plate is questionable. Sometimes maybe people are calling it too aggressive. I'm not smart enough to know exactly what's wrong, but I do know that they are wildly inconsistent. The offense at times has shown the ability to be elite, and you guys know that. But it is not consistent enough. And then, if they pitch it well, they're not hitting it well. If they're hitting it well, they're not pitching it well. I mean, Chang, who's been really solid for Ole Miss, really solid this season, especially from what you expected when they signed him, has a couple of misplays that probably end up being the difference in a win and a loss, and a series win and a series loss. They're going to play in the postseason regardless of what happens this weekend. it feels like hosting is out of the question for two reasons. One of them being that the SEC is so top heavy that there's going to be so many SEC host sites. You guys know this is how it works. Kendall Rogers told us on the radio show that he has a feeling, based on precedent, that the committee is not going to give the SEC as many host sites as it probably will deserve. But on the other hand, do you really see this team sweeping Auburn? I certainly don't think that they're capable of doing that right now. So it's an unfortunate weekend that they are, one play in a handful of games away from being close to ranked number one in the country. You had it again. You had an embarrassing two bunt attempts rolled into a double play. If the result of that is different, you win. Now, it's not, and they didn't, but still. You had a lead in the top of the ninth against Tennessee. Same thing with Arkansas. You were an out away from winning both of those series. It is a team that is – at times has shown high-level ability, as we've talked about. At times has shown some serious mental toughness, and we've talked about that as well, and is lately becoming a team that is wildly inconsistent and can't put consistent weekends together. They're certainly talented enough. I don't think that that is their issue right now. I think consistency is their issue, and that's why they went and lost a series. If you guys know me, and this is really what the conversation's about, it's not necessarily about the weekend. It's just kind of another weekend where they did the same things and they lost a series. It's what the discourse has become as a result of this weekend that I kind of want to talk about more than just what happened on the field itself, if that makes sense. The discourse has immediately shifted into fire him, don't fire him. That is what it has become. And I understand why, especially when coaches have changed. There's been two interims. Mississippi State baseball has kind of had a lot of turmoil in the time in which they have completely owned Ole Miss. You have had two coach firings, one of which because he was allegedly using his phone to, you guys know the Canizero story, had to fire him during the season. There's a story that he tried to send a picture, like he was on his phone and like looked up to try to send a picture in, and there's nobody in the bullpen ready. Like he just looked up and was like, send that guy in, and there's no guy in the pen to go into the game. It was that bad. Fire him, beat Ole Miss. They bring in Lemonis and he beats Ole Miss. They fire Lemonis and Justin Parker beats Ole Miss. There's been an absolute ownership of Mike Bianco, regardless of who's been in charge over the last decade, really is what it's been. You guys know me. I don't think that you measure yourself against your rival. Look at basketball, for example. Whose season would you rather have this past year? Ole Miss or Mississippi State to basketball? Well, the answer is obviously Ole Miss. They went to the Sweet 16. State got bounced in the first round, but State beat Ole Miss twice in the regular season. That doesn't matter until you have conversations like this one now, and the fan base is becoming incredibly frustrated, not only to see the team kind of start falling apart, but they've been combined the worst team in the SEC in the 2 years leading up to this year. They start off the season playing good baseball. They get ranked all the way up to number six, and then they start stacking losses in frustrating ways. And then Mississippi State, who fires their coach, beats them again. And people are getting frustrated, and that frustration spills into the fire him, don't fire him conversation. And went back and forth with a few people on Twitter last night. I know Chase Parham's been on this as well, and he's a much smarter baseball mind than I am, most definitely. But that conversation is a non-starter. It's a complete and total non-starter. After this, we're not even really going to like debate the merits of should they do it, should they not do it. You have to. This is why we talk about things like the house settlement on the radio show, despite Hey Dad, begging me not to. You should hear the way he reacts anytime I try to bring something like this up on the show. Like he wants to just like crawl into a ball. But this is why I talk about stuff. This is why I bring stuff like this to the radio show, so people can understand exactly what these schools now are up against when it comes to money. So you're already in a situation where, because of NIL, you have asked your donors to deflect funds to that instead of to the department, right? You already have a situation in which you know, the system is set up to where they're supposed to spend every dollar that they make anyway. But when the House settlement gets approved, $20 million of the budget essentially is just poof gone. It just disappears. It's gone. It has to go to paying the players. $20 million just has to disappear, has to just completely be removed from your budget, on top of the fact that you're still having to fund NIL, and it's the boosters that donate to the program that also are now donating to NIL are still being asked to do both of those things, and they're having to find $20 million extra dollars and stay operational. Like, We had Keith Carter on the radio show a few weeks ago to talk about the Grove Tent situation, but that's why they're doing that. They're making budget cuts really across the board, because that money just disappears. So you're in the player payment era where you have $20 million out, just completely removed from your budget, and it's really hard to just go find $20 million extra. I don't know why there are some people that think that it's just monopoly money and you can just find money here and money here and money here. And it doesn't exist that way. Ole Miss fans and its boosters are already being stretched pretty thin to pay players and to be nationally competitive in both football and basketball and baseball, to a lesser degree than the first two, of course. But the baseball roster, you know, was paid for, right? You are fully funding a basketball roster, which is really expensive, and you're fully funding a football roster that is really, really expensive. The money, there is a lot of money, but it doesn't grow on trees. And so you're in this situation where you're already having to find an extra $20 million out of nowhere. You now have a buyout, which, side conversation, if you want to talk about issues with the current situation with Ole Miss baseball, it's the current buyout being what it is. There was a six-year contract given after the national title. I don't remember anybody objecting to it when it happened, but in hindsight, this buyout is too significant. It's over a $5 million in total buyout when you bring in taxes and everything to do with it. So you can point the blame there and say that's too much, or you can point at maybe overspending on other non-revenue sports that don't generate anything. But baseball is already a quote-unquote non-revenue sport, although at Ole Miss, baseball does make some money, and that's a good thing. It pays for itself with a little extra. That's a good thing. Baseball is profitable, essentially, at Ole Miss. Not particularly large, but it pays for itself. But you've got a quote-unquote non-revenue sport in this era, and they're going to make the postseason. They sold out season tickets, and they're going to make the postseason. They're going to sell out season tickets again next year. Financially, for the department, for Keith Carter, it makes no sense right now to pay a $5 million buyout for a baseball coach that made the postseason and sold out his season tickets again and will do it next year. Where's the incentive to do it? Well, they're not winning enough. Well, they're investing too much. They are, but they're getting a monetary return on that investment. Like, Keith Carter and the department has to operate it like a business. You guys don't look at it like a business. It's your entertainment. It's fans' entertainment. But from their perspective, they have to operate it like a business, especially now that they're having to pay their employees, right? So season tickets are sold out. It's going to make money again. They're going to make the postseason. Are they underachieving over the last 3 years? Absolutely. But they're going to make the postseason. They're going to sell out season tickets again next year, and it's going to cost $5 million to pay a buyout. It's a complete and total financial non-starter. You have made a massive investment in basketball, and that's what the fans wanted. But that money has to come from somewhere, and Ole Miss as a department didn't make money last year. So it's not like they have all this extra money floating around anyway. They spent more than what they made last year. They've increased their basketball investment again. Football, you guys know how that is being funded and invested in by now as well. They're fully funding all the NIL components of it, and baseball is still going to pay for itself. You can't, as an athletic director, doing what they're doing everywhere else, considering the house settlement and all of those things, you cannot afford to pay a $5 million buyout for a baseball coach who's making the postseason and selling out his season tickets again next year. It does not make financial sense. That does not mean that over the last 3 years, it's been an acceptable result. It's just one that you kind of have to stomach for another year or two or however long. It's not going to happen. It's a financial non-starter. You can criticize the contract that was given after the title. That is a fair argument. You can criticize overspending in some other sports that are being overspent on that don't generate the revenue and attention and interest that baseball does for the university and the town. Sure, absolutely. But in this era, $5 million buyouts are not – I had somebody on Twitter say last night, well, schools do this all the time. No, schools don't pay $4 million buyouts for baseball coaches or $5 million buyouts for baseball coaches all the time. They don't, especially in this era that hasn't even begun yet. Rev share has not started yet. And so after tonight, I'm not going to have the conversation, because it's not worth having, because it's not going to happen. So there's no point of talking about it, because it's not going to happen. It does not make financial sense. They're going back to the postseason. A change is not happening. It's just not going to, unless he chooses to retire or take another job. That's it. So I'm sure we'll talk about it. I know we're going to talk about it with you guys in the comments. And we'll do that after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If your business in Mississippi, and anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security, they've got you covered. Check them out again, absms.com, and tell them that I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's awesome. I use it literally every day. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's one probably in your backyard, like there is one in my backyard, and they have local loan servicing and decision-making, so you don't need to hop on Zoom or get on a call with somebody out of state, deal with somebody that you don't sit down with face-to-face. That's what happens at Priority One Bank. You'll actually get to know the person that is dealing with your money and making decisions for you with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. To the comments we go. Do you think if Mike Bianco put his house up for sale, Mississippi State would end up owning that too? Oof. Didn't get to discuss it in the live chat last week, but some probably share the same sentiment as me. They weren't winning this series, had no chance in Starkville, simply can't win there. Haven't done it since 2014. Just means that State will keep the baseball coach like they always do, for being that they won the series versus us. I hate to tell you, that will not be the case this year. Justin Parker will not get that job unless he goes to Omaha. Then things get weird. But, yeah. It's an auto loss every time there. Like Baton Rouge in football, some things are what they are. 8 of the last 9 to State, most of those in deciding game 3s. Watching Ole Miss play this weekend, this is a State fan here. Bianco needs to change his recruiting strategy. Every swing is a home run swing. They strike out a ton, and when you look at State, it's a bunch of grinders. Well, I don't know if using Mississippi State is the best example for these two teams this year. It's not like State's been particularly good either. But they do have an incredibly high strikeout rate. There's no doubt about it. I don't think it's recruiting strategy. I think it's hitting philosophy, right? Isn't that more about what it is? Big guys can hit doubles too, you know? The decision-making was especially bad this weekend. Moore speaks for itself. The ninth inning bunt, then swing into a double play, had to be the worst sequence of the season. Yeah, and, you know, I understand when people say, you know, Morris got to pitch with a lead, and so, you know, you've got people that complain that he never pitches with a lead, and then he pitches with a lead, and then you still complain. But, man, don't you think he could have been really useful early on in Game 3 in a long relief situation? And it don't necessarily wasn't Mason Nichols' fault either. It wasn't. If he has better defense behind him, it doesn't go like that. But, I mean, wouldn't it have been better to have him available? I mean, to go immediately after Nichols shows any signs of letting up. That's not how they handled it. And I know the bunt situation. I mean, you have two on. You need one run to tie in the top of the ninth. Two on, no out. You know, bunting the two of them over is an acceptable baseball decision. It is. At least old school line of thinking anyway. Those were two awful bunt attempts, and then slapping into a double play. I mean, that's a bad player sequence as well. I know they haven't asked him to bunt too much this season, but he did it a week ago. I mean, it was just a player that couldn't execute what they asked him to do. That was just an awful sequence. I mean, really awful sequence. The offense simply isn't very good. They disappear 2 to 3 games every weekend. Sierra didn't have anything that special, and he embarrassed them. Didn't even get into a 3-ball count. That's unbelievable. Think about all the dominant performances pitchers have had against Ole Miss this season. I mean, look at the South Carolina weekend. They let a guy with a 10 ERA in conference play completely shut them down. It's bizarre. Team is going on a brutal late season slide that started with Game 3 versus Vanderbilt. They're going to lose 2 at Auburn or lose 2 to Auburn and then limp into a road regional at 15-15. Probably won't make it out of that. You say a few plays away, but if you consistently lose in these spots, you're not a very good team. That's true. If Ole Miss would have won the games that they lost by 1 or 2 runs, this could have been a record year. Could have. I mean, and that's kind of the thing, right? Are they close because they're good and they're just not getting it done, or are they close because they're bad? Are they close because they're good, they're just not getting it done, or are they not getting it done because they're bad? Do you think Ole Miss baseball fans could just force themselves to stop being so reactionary to the Mississippi State series losses, or is that a non-starter? Obviously, it's not changing anytime soon. You're always going to get negative reactions when you lose to your rival. It's going to happen. But when you're getting completely and totally owned by them, and the problem is it's not like they've had one coach that has done this that's just been so good and they've been on this run with this one guy. It hasn't mattered. They've fired multiple coaches in the season and beaten Ole Miss anyway. I mean, it's that's the problem. It's regardless of what state they are in, they're still beating you. And that's what makes the rivalry thing actually matter at least a little bit, because not only are you at the moment underachieving over the last 3 years, you're underachieving and you're getting smoked by them too. It's just a compounding issue. I don't think record and rivalry should be on top of a list or anywhere close to the top of the list, but man, it's now a line item where that they completely own you. It's not monopoly and money, but just because some of us can't afford it doesn't mean the rest can't afford it. This is just BS to me. When the checks quit coming, the move will finally be made. So let's kick the can and keep on keeping on. BS. We will lose more in the long run. That's the problem. Baseball's not losing money. That is the biggest issue here with this conversation. One, it's the buyout really is the issue. If this was 2017 and there was no rev share and no NIL and none of those things, that we'd be having a totally different conversation. The buyout's the issue, but also what incentive does Keith Carter have to make a change in baseball? What incentive does he have? You're going to sell out season tickets again next year. It's going to make money again next year. That's the thing. It's they're not losing money. People are still going. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing that you've got a culture there that allows for baseball to not lose money, because very few places in the country, Mississippi State loses money on baseball. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're paying off the stadium, but Mississippi State does not make money on baseball. That's how few programs actually make money on baseball in the country. Ole Miss does. So at some point, you're an AD and you have a spreadsheet in front of you, and you're trying to find money here to cut and money here to cut and to total up to 20 million. And then you're calling donors to donate to NIL and all of these things that you're doing and all this money that you're having to move around. And then you look at baseball, and baseball yet again is not losing money, where everywhere else they're having to deal with that, but not at Ole Miss. What incentive does he have to pay a gigantic, and it's his fault, but pay a gigantic buyout? There's no incentive to do it. On top of the fact that they are making the postseason this year, that they are getting there. Everybody, I mean, flash forward to February. What was everybody's thing with this team? Get back to the postseason. That's step number one, get back to the postseason. Now that they're getting back to the postseason, and I understand why, by the way, it's fair. Expectations have changed because this team climbed all the way up to number six and they're kind of collapsing and they lost to Mississippi State again. But there's no incentive for him to do it right now. Finding an extra $5 million before you buy out his replacement, if you're trying to get a sitting head coach, which is what all of you would want, you're going to sell out season tickets again. It's making the conversation worse as they are playing horribly and going on a slide to end the season, coupled with losing a series to a team that they should have beaten. Yeah. Did I go to Ole Miss? I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I left 11 years ago. So I've lived in Mississippi for 15 years of my life, and they have been wonderful years, even the bad ones. And I don't regret a thing. This is home now. I'm very happy to call this home now. So just about out on this team going forward. This paired with the Oklahoma series are bad looks. Oklahoma just got swept by Kentucky. South Carolina is going to go 5-25 with two wins over Ole Miss. No kidding. Do you think they consider making a change at some staff positions, primarily the offense? I don't. If this ends the way it's looking like it's going to, I don't know how you can run it back with Clement. I don't know how you can. I really don't. You've got a new pitching coach, and frankly, it looks like you're getting already a nice return on that investment. You can't just run it back fully intact without making a single change if it ends the way that it's looking. Talk to some fans instead of just being a reporter. I hear you. Like, I understand what you, I know fans are frustrated. I know they're mad. I also know how the athletic department operates and how they think. All these fans that are so mad and up in arms and want to change still buy tickets and still go to the games. I know you guys are mad. I understand. Like, I understand it. I see it. I know it. I feel it. The problem is that anger does not translate to anything other than continuing to buy tickets and continuing to go. And anger doesn't pay a $5 million buyout for a baseball coach. That has got to be new. And the thing is, even if you get that new money, that's still, they're bound by a massive buyout for baseball. But the money is still, they're still making money on the sport. There's no incentive. It's not. The only way fans can speak is with their presence. It's not even really with their money. It's with their presence, right? What got Kermit Davis fired at Ole Miss was not the results on the court as much as it was nobody supported the program. That was really is what caused that, was that nobody went. No, SEC games had 1,500 people at them. That was what that's the catalyst for change. And that's how you, that's usually how this stuff goes. Missouri fired Barry Odom. And they cited when they fired him, they weren't selling tickets. People were bored and they weren't going. Ole Miss fans are continuing to buy tickets and go to baseball. And so that is, if you want change, that's how you get it. You don't buy tickets and you don't go. But they sold them out this year. They sold out season tickets this year. After spending 2 years as the worst team in the SEC, they still sold them. I keep repeating myself. Sorry, I'm sure fans are kind of sick of it. You guys are sick of it. But until that happens, unfortunately, ADs now have become, they're not athletic directors anymore. They're accountants now. That's what they are now. They're running a business. They're not running an athletic department anymore. They're accountants. It's I don't feel bad for them because they're well compensated as a result. But that is what the job has become for them. It's a bottom line situation. So, it's tough. It's tough. I'm telling you, if this was 2015 instead of 2025, we would be having just like a completely and totally different, the conversation would be totally different. Completely and totally different. But, I mean, also, I know people don't like this, but a national championship does buy you a leash. It does. And so that's a factor in this too. But it's mostly centered around buyout. No offense to State, but they're not a good team. But are we sure Ole Miss is good? Let's not move the goalposts on the preseason expectations. And that's what I was trying to say. Maybe I said that poorly, because you're exactly right. It's, you know, in February, people would have taken get back to the postseason. Like, if I just gave you a general, hey, they're going to go 15-15. And they'll get back in the postseason. They'll be a 2 seed in Raleigh or something. You'd have been like, okay, fine. Like, I'll take that. But if I added the details of they'll climb all the way up to number 6, they'll get beat by a pathetic South Carolina team. They'll be non-competitive in Norman. They'll lose to Mississippi State again, 2 weeks off of them firing their coach. You know, changes perspective rather quickly. So, seen this team quite capable of doing some great things, and now they're underachieving with that. It's an inception level of underachievement. Yeah. Been in conversations with friends all baseball season on if Ole Miss can be good in all three major sports, and I think they can, but it takes a lot of skill and smart investment. See, and that's another thing, too. That's what makes this so frustrating. And there are some people that think that everything we talked about means that they should not invest in baseball. Like that's what I'm suggesting. No, they are invested in baseball. They do spend a lot of money on it. They're heavily invested in it. Could there be more? Certainly, especially in the NIL space, there could be more. But it's not like they're punting on it overall. They are bound by it, by a buyout. But it's not, they're not giving up on the sport. They haven't come anywhere close to giving up on the sport. That's not a thing either. They are trying to win in all three. Let's say they finish the season the way we think, then they run it back next year, lose to State again, and either barely miss or squeak into the tournament. Any change made? It's a lot more financially viable, especially if Brandon's right and people stop showing up, then yeah. I mean, it's $2 million cheaper to do it next year. You know, that's real money that I don't think enough people understand what this house settlement and NIL has done to the availability of funds within these departments. I really don't think people understand that. I mean, you're going to get, you know, the new TV deal, and they're going to get, you know, $4 million or whatever more a year for adding the ninth conference game. But that's money that's coming down the road. I mean, there's a reason that, again, there's a reason they're doing the Grove thing. Trust me. I was made aware that my opinions on the Grove thing were not particularly popular because they don't want to do it, but they have to. Keith Carter doesn't want to charge for Grove spots. He doesn't want to do that. That's not greed. Some people call him greedy. That's not greed. That's not what's happening there. It's what else can I do? I mean, I got to find money somewhere. That's where that's coming from. Not enough people understand just how different things are for them, especially now when you're really trying to win in basketball. You're paying a basketball coach $7 million a year, guys. That's before you pay a single player. Ole Miss is paying their basketball coach $3 million a year more than Mississippi State's paying their football coach. There's your stat of the day. Don't think the attendance versus Auburn is going to be particularly strong, especially with hosting chances gone now. Well, it won't be in the student section, of course, because graduation and summer and all that. I also think weather's supposed to impact next weekend, right? Yeah, there's a chance that those games are weather impacted. So we'll see. So loyalty gets you nothing, but leaving gets you what you should have got to begin with. I mean, how else can you send a message? How else can fans send a message? Voicing displeasure on Twitter and message boards isn't going to impact anything. Did I think that they were winning that series in Starkville? No, I did not. I picked on the radio show that they were going to win one game. Tim Elko hit his first homer today for the White Sox. How many players have been called up in the last couple of weeks? A lot, right? It's, I mean, him obviously, and Nikhazy, Rollison just got called up as well. It's been a nice little run for that. But yeah, that Elko thing is awesome. He is, you know, there are some players that have a really good fan Q rating that you hear things behind the scenes that lead you to think that the Q rating maybe, you know, if everybody, I guess what I'm trying to say is there are players that fans really like that behind the scenes aren't what they think that the player is. There's a lot of that. And it's that way with everything. You guys might even think I'm okay, and I'm not. Tim Elko, every single person that has ever encountered him, that I've ever heard talk or talked to, have had private experiences with him that are just nothing short of elite. Like, apparently that dude is everything that you think he is. Like, absolutely walks the walk that he talks. You know what I mean? I mean, you saw the video. I'm sure you saw the video of his minor league coach telling him that he got the call up, and he was like, I love you. Like, you're one of, like, you're my son. That's real. And that's him. And so for somebody like him to have the college moments that he had and get the statue and all that stuff, which is amazing, but to get the call up that was long overdue, and then to hit a home run on Mother's Day, His mom's crying. I mean, it's just perfect. And that's what somebody – that's the kind of moment that somebody like him deserves to have. Really good stuff. Oh, man, thoughts around the league, Tennessee losing? Yeah, Tennessee's kind of unraveling, aren't they? Kind of unraveling a little bit. And they still have that attitude, and they're not really backing it up with their play. It looks like they're crossing over into the way they act is actually detrimental to their performance. A&M losing three games, getting swept by Missouri this weekend, is the most shocking result I can remember in quite some time in SEC baseball. I knew that they got off to a really bad start, right? But they had been playing well lately, and Missouri was trending on being the worst team in the history of the league. And to go there and take three. And imagine being a Texas A&M fan, by the way. Their suck is different than other, like Northwestern's suck, right? I mean, Northwestern's just bad at everything. They're just bad. But they know that they are, and they're trying, and they built a nice new football stadium, but they're just bad. And their bad is different than A&M bad, because A&M bad is not bad. It's just not great. They are, in all of their sports, they are just in this purgatory of pretty good, competitive, can't get over the hump. I know they went to the national championship in baseball last year, but then their coach left for their rival. They're in this purgatory of good, but that's all they are is just good, and they have resources that should be elite, but they've never been elite. They have always had a financial advantage. They've always been big, rich, and powerful, and they've never won anything. And so they sit in this limbo where they're good. And now you've got Texas joining the SEC after Ross Bjork did all that crying at media days about how we were going to be the only school from Texas in the SEC, and that's what we were promised, and all that crap that he did. And Texas comes in and is immediately better than them at everything, and steals their baseball coach, and they are just, I would rather be awful than be in purgatory. They're in purgatory. You know, this podcast will be sunshine and rainbows. Yeah, something like that. Can we get Trump and Elon to come in and fix the BS spending? See, that's another thing that I don't know how. I mean, I know that there are laws that kind of force them to spend at least something, but there needs to be a lot more efficiency with true non-revenue sports. Because you call baseball a non-revenue sport. At Ole Miss, it's not. They generate revenue on baseball. There needs to be, and they're doing it, right? They're making a lot of budget cuts. They are. I'm very curious to see the financial report that Chase gets and puts out next year. Very curious to see what that looks like, because there's one sport in particular that needs to change dramatically on expenses. Dramatically needs to change. I don't care about postseason success. That ratio is unacceptable in this era. I know that's like an unpopular thing to say, and there's a segment of Twitter that, you know, will get in a group message and say something bad about me, but it's true. That ratio is unacceptable. Not when everybody else is having to get squeezed. I mean, they had to sell Lane Kiffin's old desk online, okay? They're making you guys pay for your Grove spot. There needs to be an outward display of more efficiency with especially one particular sport. Couldn't happen to a better guy with Elko. Such an amazing dude and player. Definitely deserves to play in the MLB. Absolutely. How much the rivalry emphasis do you think affects this series? It just looks like State's players get a different gear and their fans are rabid for it. Not saying Ole Miss do the same, but they can't win. There is absolutely a I don't want to be that guy that's like, whoa, they care too much. It's their Super Bowl, because I think that's garbage. It's their Super Bowl, to me, is one of the dumbest fan takes. You're just saying that your team didn't try hard enough. That's ridiculous. It's like the overrated chant. Why are you downplaying your win that you just had? It was their Super Bowl. Well, you need to care more then. They cared more than you. I don't like that at all. There is an element to that, I think. They've got a bunch of dudes that really hate Ole Miss and want to beat Ole Miss. Think that A&M job's coming open at the end of the season? I do too, actually. Enjoyed my tweet about how the powder blue uniforms have been massacred. Nike and Fanatics and all the new uniform stuff, it's so pathetic. It's just I hate what they have become. What Nike and apparel has become, and everybody just allowing Fanatics to monopolize apparel, and it's just been awful. So bad. For you, the fans, me, when I'm trying to buy my kid a Saint shirt and it's $40 and the logo's printed off to the side and like crooked and it shrinks short on him after one wash. Those people are the ones that are making the uniforms now. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But anyway, I got to run, guys. Appreciate you being here as always. Sorry about the repetitiveness tonight. Please forgive me for that. But glad you're here anyway. And I'll see you guys on Tuesday. See you guys on Tuesday. We'll talk probably some football on Tuesday, if I had to guess. I think that's what we're going to do on Tuesday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.